Pray. Lord, as we sing about this great faith, we remember the words we said earlier. We come to you this morning with our hearts open, our desires are known, and from you, Lord, there's nothing that we can hide. And so we pray this morning that as we're here in this worship space, that you may come, Holy Spirit, and cleanse the thoughts of our hearts, that each one of us here, while we're here, Lord, and when we leave here, we could perfectly love you, and we could worthily magnify your name forever. It's in your name we ask and pray these things. Amen. Please be seated. We are coming to a conclusion this morning in this wonderful 23rd Psalm that I've been working through. Many of you know it by heart now, don't you? David writes, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, and your rod and your staff, they comfort me. In you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely your goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." This is the word of the Lord. So this series began all the way back in June, and now it concludes here in October. And what a ride it's been for me personally. This psalm that David wrote begins with the Lord, and it ends with forever. And everything in between is loaded now with meaning. And although he penned this, gosh, nearly 3,000 years ago, it is still just as fresh and relevant than the day he first wrote it, is it not? It still hits us, doesn't it? And it's not just a psalm that I've discovered that's for the dying. The radical call is, it's an actual call to those that are daring to live. That's what it's calling here. And my understanding, I got to say, where I am now compared to where I was in June could not be more different. So what I want to do this morning is I want to kind of look back at what we've heard and seen and felt the last several months, and then get to this last verse, this incredible verse in verse 6. But let me put this first part up here. The Lord is my shepherd. You see how I've underscored that. That David doesn't say the Lord is a shepherd, or the Lord is even in the shepherd. He says the Lord is my shepherd, meaning God is close to me. This is upholding the eternal truth that God is close to us. My Lord, my God, my Savior, my shepherd. He's close to us. The other part up here is I shall not want. The word there for want is an archaic sense, and it doesn't mean that God will give us everything that we want. He'll give us everything that we need, everything that's absolutely essential. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I have everything I need. I shall not lack provision and peace. Because he leads me down these green pastures, he leads me beside the still waters, I shall not lack encouragement and hope. Why? Because he restores my soul. I shall not lack guidance. Why will I not lack guidance? Because he leads me along these paths that lead to my destiny. I shall not lack deliverance. Though in tough times, I will find myself, we will find ourselves walking through the valley of the shadow of death. But why will we be delivered? Because he is with us, beside us, leading us. I will never be alone, for you are with me. I shall not lack protection, because your rod and your staff, they take care of me. They comfort me. I shall not lack protection, because even when I'm at the table before you, you are with me, even in the presence of my enemies. I shall not lack help or healing, because you anoint my head with oil, and my cup runs over. I have everything I need. I shall not lack endless blessings, because your goodness and mercy are pursuing me and chasing after me all the days of my life. I will never be without a home. And why? Because he is making a home for me that one day that you and I, praise God, will dwell in forever. I shall not want. The other part is that he makes me to lie down in green pastures. Now, to my surprise, as I said back several months ago, this is very different than how I saw it. Let me put the picture up here. I thought of this as the Scottish Highlands, right? Let me put this picture up. Yeah, that's what I saw. That's what I thought. Because that's the Thomas Kincaid paintings, isn't it? Right? And yet we actually look at this. This is not what David's writing about is not a place for us to get fat and happy. Let me put this next picture. This is what David was looking at. A land that seems to lack everything. And this is the setting in which David was writing Psalm 23 into. And here's what we do know. Here's what scholars will tell you. Let me put this next picture up here. We know that the humidity would often come off, the mist would come off the ocean there in the Mediterranean and would blow onto the hillsides. And shepherds for thousands of years have always known where this mist blows. And that is at nighttime, this mist would come off the Mediterranean, it would fall down on the rocks, and because the rocks were cooler, condensation would develop on the rocks, on the stones, and it would trickle down into the soil, this rocky soil, and these little shoots, I'll put up here, these little shoots would kind of sprout up different places. And so what happened is the shepherd would lead the sheep into these places, and, you know, they see little pieces of grass, and they'd lead them to here, and they'd eat, and they'd meet them to the next place, and they'd eat. But the shepherd knew exactly where these places were, where he could take them. And here's the thing that I think this is teaching us, okay? Here's the truth of the matter. It is easy to trust God when we think we're living on the Scottish Highlands, and there's grass everywhere. It's a much different thing than we look at the scarcity. And what this is teaching us, the obvious, is that God will give us just enough to eat for that day. Now, this is hard for us as Americans because we want to store up. Talk to Africans and Asians. Why do you guys have so many storage places in this country? Well, because we just got to keep everything, right? But remember, he says, I will give you enough just to get through today. And what do we pray in the Lord's Prayer? Give us today our what? Our daily bread. Not our weekly, monthly. It is a daily thing. And here's the other point, that often we will find ourselves when we're out in the wilderness, we cannot venture out on our own. This is where the sheep get in trouble. This is where they end up cast down, you know, with their legs going up. Is they go off another path because they think literally the grass is greener somewhere else. Isaiah says, we all like sheep have gone astray. We have followed and gone down our own paths and followed the paths of our own instead of God's. So we have to rely on the shepherd and keep our eyes focused on him and where he leads us. He will lead us just to the right place for us to eat. He leads me beside the still waters. We know that this is not the story of sheep. This is the story of any living thing here on earth, that if we do not drink, we will die. What's, I think, exceptionally perilous for sheep is that often if sheep are not with the shepherd, if they're thirsty, they will drink anything they see. They think will, you know, quench their thirst, including drinking out of polluted water holes that are full of parasites. And once sheep do that, they do not have the stomach that can handle it. In a matter of hours and even days, the sheep will die. They have to drink the water that the shepherd takes them to. And of course, I think this is symbolic, obviously, of Jesus Christ saying, if any of you are thirsty, don't go to what the world can give you, because you will always be thirsty. Have you discovered that? Come to me, all you that are thirsty, and I'll give you something to drink, and rivers of living water will flow out of your heart. Those who follow after and thirst for me. So the waters he offers is better than anything else the world has to offer. He restores my soul. You know, this is not just talking about physical rest. This is talking about tired souls. Has anybody felt like that lately? I mean, I'm talking about tiredness beneath the tiredness, a weariness. David says, our great shepherd restores our soul. And I saw this translation that it struck me a few years ago. I've always kept it, but let me put it up here where Jesus says, are you tired? Are you worn out? Come to me. Get away and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to discover and take and get and receive real, real rest. Walk with me and work with me and learn the enforced rhythms of grace. Keep company with me. In other words, stay close to the shepherd and you will learn to live freely. Rest. Come to me and I will restore your soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. David says that the shepherd will take us down just the right path that he needs to take us down. And by the way, let me add this. This means he will often take us down paths that are different than it is for other people. What we cannot do, as I've often done, is why does he get to go down that path? Why can I go down that path? You ever thought that? Seen that? Because Jesus says, I don't have that path for you. This is the path I've marked out for you. And if you follow me, if you walk down this path following me, I will lead you to the destiny that I have marked out before you were even born. It is the righteous path. And yet, I got to add here, be mindful, though, that sometimes the righteous path that God takes us down will lead us down into the valley of the shadow of death. Let me put it up here. Yea, do I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. That is often where he will take us. I love some translations that say, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And by the way, let me add here, that's my next sermon series, even though. Even though there is no food in the pen, yet will I trust in you. Even though he slay me, yet will I trust in you. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And this seems to communicate here that he's not saying it's a possibility we might go into, you know, the valley of the shadow of death. He's saying here it is inevitable. Meaning it's going to happen. And so when you're following the shepherd, he will sometimes lead us into there. And, you know, I get asked this all the time. Why is he leading me into this? I don't know. There's 1,000 different reasons, but I can say at least one of them, maybe because I'm speaking from my own heart here, and that is there is something that he wants to teach us as we're walking through this valley. You know, experience is the brutal teacher, C.S. Lewis used to say. There's something he wants to restore in our lives. Now, when we're in this valley, we also know it because of this. I'll put it up here. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. We don't have to be afraid. And David says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are always with me. Now, up to this point, David has been talking about God as God is the shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. He leads me. He shows me. He points out. And suddenly, when he's in the darkness, when he's in this valley of the shadow of death, he begins to talk directly to the Lord. For you, you, my shepherd, you are with me. That's why I'm going to fear no evil. And I think this is significant to point out here. It means we don't have to be afraid because he is not, the shepherd's not on top of the ridge or the other end of the valley shouting out instructions about where to go. Saying, if you can get through this, I'm up here waiting for you on the other side. He's not saying that. He is saying, I'm right there smack next to you. I'm leading you. I brought you into this valley. I know the way out, and I'll take you there. Just follow after me. He then says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. God's, these things are many times used on the enemy, but sometimes, as you remember a few weeks ago, I said the rod is actually used on us. Sometimes through pain. And remember the word comfort, it means, at least in part, that God sighs with our sighing. Some of you know what I'm talking about. When you just... God is even in that. The shepherd, the Lord, Jesus enters into our pain to restore us, to strengthen us, to lead us through. And even in the valley of the shadow of death, there is a righteous path. There is a righteous path. There is a righteous path. And sometimes that is the hardest path to stay on, isn't it? It's almost as if Jesus is saying to us directly, I know you're scared, I know you're anxious, but I got this. I got you. Just follow me. You know, you can just hang on to my cloak. I'll take you out of here. I know the way out. And we'll walk through this together. He is the light in the darkness. And let me put this passage up here. The all-encompassing, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. He protects, he comforts, he leads, he renews, he rescues. As it's been told to me, he gives us our life back. He gives us room to breathe. Notice it also says that I walk through the valley, through it. You see it? Through it. In other words, if we're walking through something, it means we're walking to something. In other words, we don't set up permanent residence in the valley. In other words, let me just make this, while I'm explaining this to myself and to my 10-year-old, okay? The valley is not a cul-de-sac. It's not a dead end. It means that God is leading us through the valley, which means he's taking us somewhere. And where is he taking us? He's taking us to higher ground. He's taking us to somewhere greater, somewhere better, somewhere special. This is the story of the Bible, by the way, that God, the fact that God has taken us, God does not stand up on the ridge or the end. God is with us. This is the story of the scriptures. God came down. God came down from heaven to walk among us and to lead with us and to walk with us and to guide us. God with us. Because you are with me. I want you to understand today, as a child of God, it does not matter how big the storm is that may be blowing through your life right now. We have a promise of God. And if we have a promise from God, it means that you are never, never alone. It's a promise from God. And that means, a promise means virtually nothing coming from me. It means everything when it comes from God. God cannot lie. And therefore, because he promises us that I will lead you and I will get you through this, I find incredible comfort in that. It means if God said it, it's going to come to pass. And then he said this other thing, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Simply, as we learned last week, is that it's just about keeping our eyes on the shepherd in front of us. And this meal, this table he's prepared for us, we keep our eyes on him, even though our enemies may be around us. Which means, basically, it means all hell can be breaking loose in the world and in our lives, and yet we're keeping our eyes on him. You prepare a table for me, Lord. Which leads me to this last part. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. The Hebrew word there for follow, I think, is far too weak. Plenty of other people have made this comment on this. It means to pursue, to chase, to be hunted. Think about that. To pursue, to chase, to be hunted. Now, I'm about images and about seeing things, so let me put this picture up. This is what it's communicating here, okay? Goodness and mercy are just like these guys. They're galloping after us. They're chasing us. They're nipping at our heels. They are the hounds of heaven. Goodness and mercy. We're chased by goodness. We're pursued by mercy. We're not merely followed. And this was pointed out to me last week. Lisa, many of you know Tara Lee Cobble was here last week. She is one of the most listened to podcasts in America right now. She was here speaking at this chapel right here last week, and she was making the comment, guess what she talked about? Do you know this? Psalm 23. And she was making the comment, Lisa was sharing this to me, and I thought, oh my gosh, I'd never thought about that before. If you look at the psalm, it communicates here that God, the way this is positioned, where the shepherd is, throughout the psalm, he is always around us. I had to dumb this down so I can understand this. If you look at this first verse and the last verse, let me put it up here. It says, because the Lord is my shepherd. That's why these verses are all linked to one another. You can just move them around. Because the Lord is my shepherd, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. In other words, what it's saying here is because I am following the shepherd, because I'm following after Christ, what is following me? His goodness and his mercy. He's in front of me. He's behind me. He's beside me. So if you're following Jesus, his goodness and mercy are following after you. It means we're always surrounded. Now, what does goodness and mercy look like? What does goodness look like in a broken world? There's probably many ways and many things you could say about this, but to me, at the heart of God's goodness, I mean, at the essence of God, is God's generosity. He is the most generous entity I've ever known. How do we know that? It's the heart of who he is, but part of the fact is that because you and I are made in the image of God, I would argue and say the times that you and I feel most alive is not when we are receiving things. Oh, that's wonderful, right? The times we feel most alive is when we are actually giving away to people who need it. When you are generous to people and you see them become alive because of your generosity, what does that do to your soul? It puts wind in your sails. And the reason why is because we are made in the image of our Creator. It's the heart of who He is. And so when we are living into His heart, we are most alive. Being generous, it brings God great pleasure. So when we are generous and you feel that, multiply that times a billion. And you're not even tipping the iceberg when you get to how God sees and feels generosity. And then it says here, God's mercy is following us. Boy, I tell you something. Mercy is a wonderful thing. Even when we follow the shepherd, people, we are going to stumble. We are going to fall. We're going to come up short. And yet, the wonderful thing about this passage is it says that God's generosity, God's goodness, and God's mercy follow behind us to pick us up and get us walking again. That's why I tell people all the time, they look at their life, they look back, they look at the mistakes they made, and they say, it ain't over. We have a God who's following after, He's pursuing us, He's hunting us down. You cannot outrun me. My goodness and mercy are going to carry the day for you. And then it says, lastly, He shall follow us, that goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life. I got permission to share this last story. I think it's kind of funny. Back in July, one of my college kids I'm very close to, very close. She's like a daughter to me. She's out west right now. She gave permission to me to share this. But we were talking, and I was talking about the God being right next to you, and she admitted to me that she feels many times she does not feel like, she said, Pastor Jay, I just don't feel like sometimes the Lord is next to me. He's with me. Does anybody else ever feel like that? And I was sharing to her, I said, well, so anyway, in the process of the conversation, I mentioned briefly that famous poem called Footprints in the Sand. You ever heard of it, Footprints in the Sand? I got to say, when I first heard it back when I was in college, when I was just becoming a believer, I thought it was the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. And then when I got some theology on my side, I thought it was incredibly cheesy. And then all of a sudden, once I've been broken 4 or 5 times, and I've walked with people for the last 20 years, it doesn't seem as bad anymore. And so I was sharing this with her about Footprints in the Sand, and she said, what are you talking about? And she'd never heard it before. So I texted my kids, my own children. I said, have you ever heard this? None of them had ever heard of it. It's a story, a short poem, I think it was written back in the 60s, of a person looking back over their life. They're standing with the Lord, and they're looking back over their life, and they see two sets of footprints there on the beach. And the footprints represent the footprints of our lives. And they say to the Lord, listen, I noticed here that in all the times of my life where things were prosperous and successful and I was happy, there are two sets of footprints. And yet when the great crisis of my life, was falling apart, when I was walking in great darkness, there's only one set of footprints. So it seemed like when the chips were really down, you abandoned me. And the Lord says to this person, my child, you've completely missed it. Those times where you feel like you couldn't go any further, the reason why there's only one set is because I was carrying you. Now here's the theology thing. Okay, the truth is God has always been carrying us. But you get the point. You get the point. Goodness and mercy are like a couple of hound dogs. Everywhere I go, They're right there. But what then? When the days of my life had come to an end, when my time on earth is over, it says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In the glorious and blazing light of his presence. There is a reason why Psalm 23 has become the most revered passage in all of the scripture. It has brought strength and hope and comfort to so many millions of people. When Jesus takes us by the hand, he keeps you tight. He walked with us through the shadows. We won't stay in that place. We're passing through it, and he is leading us, praise God, to somewhere greater. Let's pray. Lord, we have seen a side of you that is so immensely beautiful. You are the light of our lives. You are the one that puts death to the darkness that so easily overcomes us. You are the one who loves us. As we come to the end of this just incredible psalm, we remember what David wrote, which now belongs to the ages. We know that if we follow you, surely your goodness and mercy will be chasing after us all the days of our life, everywhere we go, and we will dwell, we will dwell, we will dwell in your house forever. And all of God's people said, Amen.